You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Imagine saying you would rather face the Golden State Warriors in a playoff series than the Houston Rockets or the Los Angeles Clippers. Of course, the Sacramento Kings would happily face any team if it meant making the playoffs, which we know they are not going to make this season, despite being one of the most fun and exciting up-and-coming teams in the NBA, finally climbing out of the cellar in the Western Conference. But the Kings have had so many problems, so many issues with the Rockets and the Clippers, that they would prefer to face the defending champion Golden State Warriors, that absolute juggernaut roster that, yes, swept them in all four games this season. But those games were close, they were competitive, and in all four games, the Kings realistically had a chance. In fact, in three out of the four games, you could say the Kings should have won those games. But that has not been the case against the Clippers or the Houston Rockets this season. It's gotten so bad to the point that when the Kings take on either of those teams, fans expect the Kings to lose and lose comfortably. And lo and behold, last night in their final meeting with the Rockets this season, a 131-105 loss inside the Golden 1 Center was a surprise to absolutely nobody. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, this is the place for you. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Welcome into those returners. Welcome into those who are new. Excited to have you here listening on the Locked On Kings podcast, wherever you're listening, if it's iTunes, if it's Spotify, if it's Podbean, if it's some other app like Himalaya, which you should check out, a great podcast app that consolidates things as best as you possibly can. If you're listening on Himalaya, let me know. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK or email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. But regardless of how or where you're listening, thank you for listening to Locked On Kings. Even if this is your first time or if you've listened all season long going back to the offseason or even last season, we are happy to have you here, and it is a privilege to be able to speak with you every weekday and give you as much in-depth Kings information as I can. Last night, there were a lot of fans inside the Golden 1 Center once again, as there have been all season long. Another announced sellout, 17,583 on hand for Kings and Rockets. And I was at the game. I have the privilege of being able to cover every single Kings home game. And I also have the privilege that I do not take for granted and never try and rub in anybody's face that I get to go and cover these games for free. In fact, I get paid to do it. It's my job with KHDK and it's my job here with Locked On Kings. So I try and be very, very courteous, very thankful with that, and again, not try and rub that into anybody's face or act like I'm better than anybody else because I have that opportunity. It's an opportunity that I've worked for. I'd like to say I have earned, but if I didn't have, I would be a paying customer consistently with this Kings team. I spent a lot of money, even when I didn't have any money in college and high school, attending Kings games, and this is one of those games where the writing would have been on the wall for me and I would have not purchased tickets for. If I was a season ticket holder, I probably would have tried to sell my tickets to some Houston Rocket fans, because like I said, the Houston Rockets are just a nightmare matchup for this Sacramento Kings team. I went into that building completely expecting a blowout loss, and lo and behold, that's what we got. 36 points for James Harden in the win, and it's hard to say this, but 36 points is almost a quiet night for Harden. He went 12 of 19 from the field, 7 of 12 from three-point range, also finished with 10 assists and a few rebounds. He was a plus 29 on the night. His scoring ability is out of this world. The best part about this game was that he only got to the free throw line 6 times, and that was a welcome sight. However, right out of the gate, he was getting the star treatment and star calls that he has been accustomed to now throughout the last couple years of his career, something that I think absolutely ruins the game and ruins the NBA as a whole, so much so that I took to Twitter and social media arguing with maybe even some of you, but going back and forth with many fans on Twitter last night, because the game was pretty much unwatchable, about if James Harden has taken over the role of becoming the biggest villain in the NBA to this point. Now, That mantle was previously held by Russell Westbrook and even Kevin Durant to some extent. But to me, James Harden is absolutely 100% the most disliked and the most villainous player in the NBA for two major reasons. One is his style of play. Harden has done a phenomenal job, and I give him all the credit in the world. Harden has done a phenomenal job of developing his game and molding his game to take advantage of physicality, take advantage of leniency when it comes to officials or a lack thereof in his case, and he takes advantage of his star mantra or his star label. He has used his ability to attack the basket, and it is a natural talent what he has. I'm not taking anything away from him with his natural basketball ability, but he has used his quick ability to get by defenders, get to the rim, create contact, and draw fouls. He has used that to open his outside game, and of course this year his outside game has really blossomed into that step-back three-pointer that has also turned into a nightly debate of whether his step-back three is a travel or not. But James Harden has completely relied and changed his game and morphed his offense to rely on two major things, traveling and officiating. And it hasn't worked for him very much in the playoffs. We'll see if it works for him this year. It certainly helps him during the regular season. He won an MVP last year. I believe he will be a close second, if not the MVP this season with the stats and the numbers that he's been putting up. But his style of play is one of the reasons why he's a major villain. And then also it's his expectation for foul calls and an expectation to not get called for fouls on the other end of the floor. And this is nothing new. This is something common in the NBA when it comes to stars. They always think that they're getting fouled all the time and they never foul once in their lives. LeBron James does it. Steph Curry does it. Kevin Durant does it. DeMarcus Cousins does it. Even stars of old do it. Even Kings stars do it. So it's nothing new. It's nothing that is specific to James Harden and James Harden alone, but it is the most apparent with James Harden. And the perfect example I can give for you last night was in the first quarter, James Harden was quote-unquote fouled by De'Aaron Fox for on a three-point shot. De'Aaron Fox was working his way around the screen, which, by the way, it was an illegal screen. Both arms went into the chest of De'Aaron and pushed him backwards. And De'Aaron then tried to battle around that to contest a step-back James Harden three-pointer. James Harden recognized that Fox was, I mean, and this is one of the areas where James Harden is so crafty and so good. He recognized that De'Aaron Fox was coming in on the weak side away from his shooting hand, but there potentially could be minuscule contact with his offhand elbow. So Harden stuck that elbow out. And if you watch the replay, he had no intention of shooting this shot. He goes up and he intentionally loses possession and then flails both of his arms up to draw the foul. Of course, the officials gave him the foul. About a couple minutes later, on the other end of the floor, James Harden is called for his first personal foul. He turns to the ref, pouts, throws a fit, bounces the ball hard off of the hardwood into the ref's chest. And he gets away with it. It's the temper tantrum. It's the complaining when you get every call on the planet for you, but when there's a call that goes against you, it's the end of the world and it's the worst thing. It's so stupid and it's so bad and it's so garbage and it's something that's far too common in the NBA today. I think James Harden, unfortunately for him, is the poster boy of that. Now, he strikes me as someone who doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn. He is happy to continue to get his numbers, to be a star, to win MVP awards, and he can deal with me not liking him or fans not liking him or being a villain in the NBA if it means he's going to collect that paycheck, he's going to put up those numbers, and he's going to be a future Hall of Famer, which he will be based off the numbers and what he's doing and what he's putting up. Had a conversation with a couple media members at the Kings game last night asking if he was the best scorer in the NBA since Kobe Bryant, and he very well might be. I'm trying not to take anything away from James Harden, the talented basketball player, because he is absolutely a talented basketball player. But he has bent and molded his game to take advantage of some of the loopholes in the game and the loopholes in officiating. And I think it's horrible for the game of basketball. It's not fun to watch, even though he is putting up 30-plus points per night. And it's something that maybe in the long run will continue to bite him in the butt because we've seen him struggle and go cold and not get the calls he's used to getting in the playoffs. And the Houston Rockets have yet to win with him at the helm. So we'll have to wait and see if this is the year that he and the Rockets can finally punch through and burst the Golden State Warrior bubble in the Western Conference. But other than James Harden, I mean, you got good outpouring, good support from Eric Gordon. Oh, by the way, the Rockets hit 26 threes in this game. They went 26 of 61 from three-point range. That's 42% from three-point range. They tied their record that they set in December against the Washington Wizards with 26 three-pointers. They were going for the record 27 with their bench in the closing minutes of the game. I was actually pleased to see Mike D'Antoni, head coach of the Rockets, keep Chris Paul, keep Eric Gordon, keep James Harden on the bench and not try and chase that record, recognizing that he's at the end of the season. He wants to keep these guys as fresh as possible for the playoffs. Neither or none of the starters for the Rockets played over 30 minutes. In fact, nobody played 30 minutes in this game. The closest was James Harden with 29 minutes and 28 seconds. So in that area, I applaud the Rockets and I applaud D'Antoni for making the smart decision in that sense. On the other side, Buddy Hield had a decent game, 20 points, even though he was a minus 25 on the night, went 8 of 16. He was really the only one scoring in the first half. Marvin Bagley returned, had a good second half, 19 points on 7 of 18 shooting, had 8 rebounds as well off of the bench. Willie Cauley-Stein, once again, a non-factor. 2 points, 5 total rebounds in 20 minutes. Nemanja Bjelica was scoring well early, but that dropped off. He went 6 of 7 for the game, finished with 12 points. Harrison Barnes had 10 points, was virtually non-existent, except on the defensive end of the floor. De'Aaron Fox's stat line, he finished with 9 points and 5 assists, will suggest that he wasn't very active, but he was very involved on the defensive end of the floor. You can see that he definitely tried to make it as difficult as possible on James Harden, who's impossible to guard to begin with. Regardless of if he didn't get the calls, he would still be a very, very tough cover. And that's where I want to be careful and I want to show the proper respect to James Harden and his game, because he's a ridiculously tough cover even when he's not getting foul calls. But De'Aaron Fox took that challenge and I think did as well as pretty much you could do. Did well to just harass Harden. Every time Harden had possession, Fox was within 2 feet of him and forced Harden just to make some James Harden shots. So I was very pleased with De'Aaron Fox's effort on the defensive end of the floor. No Harry Giles in this game. No Harry Giles for the remainder of the season. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit and if that is significant or not, if that's cause for concern for Kings fans, because I learned some information, had some conversations before and after the game in regards to Harry Giles. So I have some news and some updates on that here in just a little bit. Bogdan Bogdanovic also had 10 points and 4 of 8 shooting off of the bench. All in all, just a very ugly night for the Kings. The Rockets are a team that are built to defeat the Kings in a way. They just are so perimeter-centric, a team that puts up a lot of three-pointers like we saw last night. And perimeter defense has been a struggle for the Kings for a long time. The Kings are notorious for giving up a lot of three-point opportunities last night, and the Houston Rockets are no exception to that. In fact, they take advantage of it better than any team in the NBA. But on top of that, they have a very good center in Clint Capela, who absolutely dominates down low, a good rim protector, a fantastic rebounder, can score as well. So the two biggest areas of weakness for the Kings, the Rockets can exploit naturally without really trying all that hard. That's why the Rockets are probably the worst matchup for the Kings in the NBA. A close second would be the Los Angeles Clippers. Couple hours before the game last night, the Sacramento Kings announced that Harry Giles would be shut down for the remainder of the season. He injured his leg in kind of a scary fall against the Dallas Mavericks in Sacramento a couple of weeks ago. Was diagnosed with a left thigh contusion, basically significant bruising and swelling that I was told took away a lot of his explosiveness. Now, I didn't get the opportunity to see him work or do any workouts, put really too much pressure on it in terms of a basketball move or an in-game scenario or situation. However, I did get to interact with him and see many instances of him working with or walking around with the team, interacting with his teammates. He was moving fine, didn't have any limp or anything like that. But what we were told over and over again by the Sacramento Kings training staff was that the swelling is still there. It hasn't gone down completely. And the Kings overall were erring on the side of caution with him. I thought Doug Christie, who hosts or is a co-host of Grant Napier on the Grant Napier Show on KHDK, also the color commentator for the Sacramento Kings, I thought Doug Christie said something that was very, very wise that I didn't even think about, even though it's so prominent and it made me think or made me wonder why I didn't consider this in the first place. Harry Giles, I think, was also a little spooked by the fall that he took. If you remember and you go back and you can watch that fall, it's a little bit scary. It's just an awkward fall right in front of the Kings bench. And with the injury history that Giles has had, especially with his knees, naturally, I'm sure there was some fear for him in that situation, in that scenario, when he fell and when he felt pain in his legs and not knowing specifically what the issue was. I have been reassured time and time again, and this is where we can all breathe a collective sigh of relief here in Sacramento. I have been reassured that the injury that he is currently dealing with right now, the swelling, the bruising, has absolutely nothing to do with his persistent knee injuries of the past. Has nothing to do with the or re-aggravating any injuries that he had to have surgery for over the past few years. We have had no reason to believe or been told nothing about any long-term concerns with him or any flaring up of an injury of old that could come back to haunt him in future games. We've just been told that it's a separate injury, a specific injury that has caused bruising and swelling that has not gone away as quickly as the Kings would hope. And with these, with the season winding down, with their only five or so games remaining this season, the Kings just want to make sure that he is okay. They are pleased with everything that he has given them development-wise and play-wise throughout the course of this season. He's done a fantastic job to this point to stay healthy and to get back into the basketball grind, which is very difficult to do at the best level on the planet after missing so much time with the knee injuries that he had that made him a project and a question mark in the NBA draft to begin with. But all in all, I think we can all agree that the Kings' quote-unquote gamble of drafting Harry Giles has been a success to this point, has a chance of being a monumental success in the future based off the flashes and the excitement that he has shown and brought to this Kings team. I know he would love to be able to come back and play the remainder of this game for the Kings, but the training staff, I think, making the right decision overall. Now, that naturally leads to concerns of, well, he was about to get potentially some big minutes here. Yes, he's no longer playing, and no, he's not missing any quote-unquote meaningful games, the only thing the Kings are really playing for to this point. Buddy Hield said this after the loss to Houston last night, that the goal for this locker room for the remainder of the year is to get at or above 500, which is still definitely an achievable goal. But the games, all in all, are meaningless in the grand scheme of things, with the exception of developing players. And we've seen enough from Harry Giles this season to be confident with his development and confident with the fact that he will continue that growth and come back and start the 2019-2020 season even better than what he was doing and who he was before he went down with the injury in this Dallas game. However, I do understand the concerns of fans and the concerns of many that with the Kings being eliminated from playoff contention, maybe Dave Yeager was looking to give more minutes and more opportunity to some of his younger guys. Maybe that meant Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles were going to be getting 35-plus minutes a night. Unfortunately, we'll never know now, at least in regards to Harry Giles, and it would have been fun to see maybe Harry start a game or two or how he would play and the numbers that he would put up with big minutes on a nightly basis for the final week or two of the season. Unfortunately, we're not going to get that chance. He's not going to get that opportunity, but that's okay. I don't think Harry Giles was really going to show us or shock us with anything that we haven't already seen. We saw a player that started the season that dealt with a lot of issues with staying on the floor because of foul trouble. He was then sent to the G League where he put up fantastic numbers, 30-point games with the Stockton Kings. Then came back to Sacramento, and over the last few months has slowly worked himself into a off the bench role as a high post, low post, post player on the offensive side. He stayed out of foul trouble. We've been able to see that passing ability that we heard so much about last season. We're seeing the effort and energy that he brings, how well he plays and fits alongside fellow rookie Marvin Bagley. All we could ask for from Harry Giles and his development as an NBA player this season, we have already seen. The next jump is this summer. Does he put on weight in the weight room? Is he able to remain healthy? Does he add maybe a little bit of that outside shot to space the floor? Is his defensive and offensive game polished? Does he do a better job guarding with his feet and not his hands, staying out of foul trouble? These are all questions that we'll be able to answer come training camp and come the start of next season. Now, he most likely will play in the California Classic, assuming that it will happen and it will return here to Sacramento. He might get some run in the summer league as well. We don't know. We'll just have to wait and see to this point, and hopefully we'll see even growth in those games if he does play. But at this point, like I said, I don't think Harry Giles playing 35 plus minutes a night over the final few games of this season and risking re-aggravation of this injury is going to warrant more good than bad. I honestly expect we would see more of the same from Harry, which would be fun. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it wouldn't be worth the risk. So I'm okay with the Kings shutting him down. It's disappointing. He would have been something fun to watch and fun to follow over these last couple of games and these last couple of weeks of this season. But all in all, what I can say wholeheartedly is that I'm very proud of Harry Giles. I'm proud of the growth that I've seen, the locker room leader and the on-floor energy guy and presence that he has become. He maybe was overhyped a little bit by certain people, but the strengths that were shared to us by his teammates and by the coaching staff, we've now gotten an opportunity to see consistently. There's more than enough reason to be excited about him as either a future starting big or a future sixth man for this Kings squad. I think he definitely has a very bright future with this Kings team. He will be an impact player and will be an important piece if the Kings are going to be making championship runs in the future. Kings fans have nothing but excitement, or should be nothing but excited, in regards to Harry Giles based off of what they've seen this season and a persistent bruise and nagging injury like he's dealing with this thigh contusion does not change that one bit. Working on getting a fun guest for you on tomorrow's podcast. It might be a little different. I might not release a podcast tomorrow in the same format, or the typical format that I do here. It might be later on. I'll release it right before the Kings game, as I'm trying to speak with someone specifically before the game tomorrow. She is a friend of the podcast. You've heard her on Locked On Kings before with Jason Ross, formerly from KHDK. But I'll just leave you at those hints. She's someone that's fantastic to talk to. Will provide a lot of great Kings insight. I look forward to potentially and hopefully having her on and bringing that to you here in a different style and a different format on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast. Thank you to everybody who tuned in today and was a part of today's show. Again, you can be a part at any time on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. Let me know you listen to the show, and I'll be happy to give you a follow. That's a great place to get into conversation, argument, debate, regardless. Ask me questions, anything like that. Twitter is a great place for that. If you're not on social media, email works just as well. You can reach me at mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That's saclocalmedia.com. A great place to reach me in long form, share your takes, any questions, stuff like that. I do my best to try and respond to every single email that I get. If you have anything that you want to say, anything that you want to share, that is a great place to do it. If you don't mind taking the time to leave a review for the Locked On Kings podcast, that helps us out a ton. So I encourage you to do that if you do not mind taking a minute or two. iTunes is the best place for us, but if your podcast app or wherever you listen has a place to leave a review, Please do that. It helps us grow. It helps me grow as a podcast host. It helps me grow as a producer. It helps us as a podcast network grow. And I encourage you to check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network to see Locked On NBA content, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On MLB, Locked On NFL, Locked On College Sports. There's just so much out there for you on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you call yourself a sports fan, you absolutely are in the right place. Thank you for listening today. Hopefully we'll be back with a guest tomorrow. This has been Locked On Kings. My name is Matt George, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.